أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والعاقبة لأهل التقوى واليقين، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين خاتم النبيين القاسم محمد.
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد
وعلى الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين، لا سيما بقية الله في الأرضين وفي أرواح العالمين بالفراغ المقبل واللعنة الدائمة على أعدائه أجمعين من الآن إلى قيام يوم الدين. أما بعد، فقد قال الله الحكيم في كتابه الكريم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، ألف لام ميم، ذلك الكتاب لا ريب فيه، صدق الله العظيم. Just before I begin explaining the role of Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam in the tafsir of the Quran, very quickly I just want to say a few masail about the matter number of people to ask, but most of the people who ask, they're not here yet. So should I wait till the end, or should I just probably say the masail? In the last 5 minutes, I do the second masail. Okay. Now, I'm alayhi salam, they are the equivalent, or they are the parallel of the Holy Quran, and they are the physical being of the Holy Quran, as the Holy Prophet and the Ahmad of Islam themselves have said. When Muawiyah picked up the Quran from his peers, and he was holding 400 Qurans and telling Imam Ali al-Islam to stop the battle of Siffin, the people on Imam Ali al-Islam's side said, "Ya Ali, stop the battle, because we do not wish to fight Muawiyah, because there are 400 Qurans on the javelins. Stop the battle." Imam Ali said, "Do not be trapped by Muawiyah's deceit. He is only tricking you because he knows that many of you may be fooled by seeing the Holy Quran in front of you." So they said, "Ya Ali, you are not respecting the Quran." He said, "These are not the full Qurans, they are just part of the Holy Quran which he is using to trick the people and test the minds of you. On my side, these are only Quran and Samit, and I am Quran and others. These are the silent Qurans, and I am the speaking Quran. If you have respect for the Holy Quran, then I am the speaking Quran. Then have respect for me." So the Imam alayhi salam are the speaking Quran. So have respect more for the Imam alayhi salam. However, many times today as well, people like the Taliban use the Holy Quran, and they say that we have memorized the Holy Quran, and therefore we are Kuffar of Quran. And the term used for the person who memorizes the Quran is Kuffar, which is a plural of Hafiz. Hafiz means not only does the one memorize the Holy Quran, but also sometimes they intend that we have memorized, so therefore we are protecting the Holy Quran. Now, we believe that we should not be just the Hafiz of Quran, we should try to be the Hafiz of Quran. And the father of the Quran is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, so don't just become the memorizers of the Holy Quran. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that people who have just memorized, you know, there is a hadith that I had revised before as well, Rubba Khalil Quran wa Quran wa Yal'anuhum. There are many people who recite the Holy Quran and the Quran curses them. Many people who recite the Holy Quran and the Quran curses them because, number one, either they oppose the Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam, that's why the Quran curses them, or they go against the teachings of the Holy Quran. Either of the two makes you that the Quran would say that you are not amongst us, you are not from me, you are not obeying me, therefore you are not the true followers of the Holy Quran. Now, the important part is that the Imam alayhi salam have played an extremely, not only just an important role, but an extremely vital role in protecting the Holy Quran and in preventing all the things that may have come to the Holy Quran which are known to be batil, the invalidity, the arguments that people made, nullified the teachings and the implementation of the Holy Quran. So they came and they stopped all of those people who were trying to dismantle the teachings of the Holy Quran. Now, I am alayhi salam not only just by words but also by practice. There are two ways of protecting something. One is that a person keeps coming and he keeps destroying the teachings by words. And the other way is to, you know, one way is to either, you know, when a person is sitting here and he has a match in his hand and he keeps lighting the the matches and keeps dropping them on the floor, and you have fire everywhere. One way is that you keep putting out the fire that he is placing on the ground. The other way is that you take that matchbox from his hand and put it away, or take it away. Now, I read the Muslim said, don't just keep taking the teachings of a person and answering those things, but put into practice what they are trying to dismantle from Islam. If you follow the message that I'm trying to convey. Now, one way was that the people were saying that this is what the Holy Prophet said and we are opposing it. Imam could have just answered many times, but many times he said answering is not sufficient. We should put into practice what they are trying to dismantle. So they were saying that the Quran says, for example, establish peace and justice. And they were not only just opposing the peace and justice, but they were trying to dismantle the whole concept of the Holy Prophet that he had legislated. Now, Ayman and Muslim came and they said, no, we will put into practice what they are trying to destroy. So they were the living Quran, and not only this living Quran, but they were establishing the teachings of the Holy Quran in their followers. This is extremely important. Today you cannot just only say that we follow the Ahlul Bayt and Muslim, but you need to put into practice what they were saying that you need to do. You need to establish what they were trying to do. We need to show in our practice what they were trying to achieve in their life. Ayman alayhi salam, they followed the footsteps of the Holy Prophet. The Holy Prophet, within a short span of time, had established a whole ideal society in Medina, where every person was adil. And that is the whole purpose of the teaching of the Holy Quran, to become adil. Every person should be just, a person fair in his dealings. When the time for prayer came, everyone left their shops as they were and came to the masjid. When a person, a caravan, had come from Mecca to see what the Muslims are doing to sell their merchandise, they said, what is wrong with these people in Medina? No one is looking after their shops. The shops are open and everyone is gone. They said they've only gone for prayer. They'll come back and continue selling what they're selling. This was within the short period that the Holy Prophet had established. This is the real Islam, and this is the real Quran in its best. The teachings of the Holy Quran put into practice. And that is what the aim of the Ayman alayhi salam was. To not only just put into, not only just explain the Quran, but also put the Quran into practice wherever they went. Now, today I just wanted to touch on to one dimension of the life of the Ayman alayhi salam. Their role into explaining the tafsir of the Holy Quran. Their role into giving the tafsir of the Holy Quran from the beginning to the end. We have many, many traditions where the Ayman alayhi salam have gone into explaining the verses of the Holy Quran, each one of the surahs, each one of the ayah. And today we have thousands of ahadith from the Ayman alayhi salam. We have a tafsir called Al-Burhan fi tafsir al-Quran. We have Nur al-Thaqalain. And for each one of the other tafsir, like As-Saqi, Majmu' al-Bayan, Al-Mizan, Naqib al-Bayan, you name it, all the tafsir that we have, hundreds of tafsir, each one of them have a section called Bahth-e-Riwayi. Bahth-e-Riwayi means the discussion from the riwayat or the traditions of the Ayman alayhi salam. And these are the traditions from the infallible Imam, especially from Imam Baqir and Imam Ja'far Sadiq. And they have given in-depth explanation of each one of the verses, and people have asked them, Mawla, what does this verse mean? And they will come and say, this verse means this. Imam alayhi salam himself has many traditions. We have still a whole book called Tafsir Imam Hasan Askari alayhi salam. But the ulama always write in the beginning of this tafsir, tafsir mansub by Imam Hasan Askari alayhi salam, which is related to the Imam. It is not directly written by the Imam alayhi salam himself, but it is some of his students, and therefore you will find some mistakes in it, because it is a student who probably writes from his own memory later on what the Imam had said. So we have a lot of traditions from the Ayman alayhi salam explaining the verses of the Holy Quran. Now, the Quran cannot be understood by any person completely, because the Quran can only be understood by the Holy Prophet himself and by his holy progeny. Why? Because it is them for whom the Quran was revealed. the Quran, one of the miracles of the Quran is that if you took out a surah, let's say Surah Hashr for example, or Surah Saf, or any surah, and you put away the verses of the Holy Quran and gave it to a person who was an expert in Arabic literature and said, give it the same order that the Quran has given it. The ulama argue that they will, no person gives it exactly the perfect order that the Quran has given to each one of the surahs and the verses in the Holy Quran. Why? Because the order of the Holy Quran itself is a miracle, and only the Holy Prophet could give the order of the Holy Quran that it is in. You have a long surah that has so many different parts. It talks about, and many people say that it doesn't run like a book, you know, like a novel or something like that, or a fiction, or like, you know, the chapters that you would expect them to, because the Holy Quran keeps reminding you. This book is not a story book, it is not a history book, it has come for the guidance of the mankind. It touches upon different topics, and before you can start boring away, it stops and goes on to another topic. So you say, hang on, it was talking about something else, and now it has gone into another topic. That is the way of grasping the attention of the people. That is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's method of grasping the attention of the people. They'll say, one topic is finished, and now you're already into another topic. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions the different stories for the sake of giving a lesson, a moral in that story. The very famous hadith by Imam Ali alayhi salam, when he was teaching Hazrat Abdullah ibn Abbas, who was a famous mufassir of the Holy Quran, on his burial, Hazrat Muhammad Hanafiya, the son of Imam Ali alayhi salam, the older brother of Hazrat Abbas, not from Hazrat Ummul Baneen, but from Hazrat Hanafiya. His mother's name was also Fatima, and that's why he's known to be Muhammad Hanafiya. Hanafiya is basically the title of Hazrat Fatima, who was from a tribe who only had one son, whose name was Muhammad. Now, when Hazrat Amir ibn Abbas had been asked by Yazid and later on by Marwan and others to pay allegiance, he said, no, I will not pay allegiance to anyone. And he left Medina to take refuge in Khana Kaaba, and later on from Khana Kaaba he moved to Taif, and he died in Taif. Taif is a small town near Mecca. So he went to Taif and he died there. Why Hazrat Muhammad Hanafiya was on Umrah trip to Mecca? He went to Taif because he had heard that Hazrat Abdullah ibn Abbas died, and he went there to give him the ghusl and kafan. He gave him the ghusl and kafan and he buried him in Taif. And when he buried him, he came back to Medina and he said to him, Mr. Sajjad al-Islam, Imam Zain al-Abidin al-Islam, he said, Mawla, when I was burying Muhammad Hanafi, Abdullah ibn Abbas, I saw two birds made of light that went into his grave. They were like pigeons, but they were of light, and they both went to his grave. So the Imam indicated that these were two of his knowledges that he knew, you know, the two sciences that he knew. One was of tafsir and the other one of hadith. So the two knowledge that he had, you know, the two sciences he knew, tafsir and hadith, they both went into his grave to do shafa'at. And he died in either 67 or 68 Hijrah to pay more attention to Allah Salaam. Now, Hazrat Muhammad Hanafiya saw this happen with his own eyes. Yeah, the two birds went into his grave. So you can imagine what the two sciences he had, tafsir and hadith. So that is the important tafsir of Holy Quran. The same Abdullah ibn Abbas, the cousin of Muhammad al-Islam and the Holy Prophet, he says that I asked Muhammad al-Islam to give tafsir of Surah Fatima. The famous hadith, you must have all heard this story. So he said, Ya Ali, please do tafsir of Surah Fatima for me. And this was in Kufa. Masjid al-Kufa, Muhammad al-Islam sat down doing tafsir of Surah Fatima for him. And the whole night passed by. Imam Ali got up and he moved his abaya and he said, it is time for Fajr. He said, Ya Ali, I ask you to do tafsir of Surah Fatiha. And all you have explained for me is only Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. You have not even gone out of Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. And the whole night passed by. The whole night, about 10 hours, Imam Ali did tafsir of Surah Fatiha and he did not even cross Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. You know, when he said the famous hadith, that you've all, inshallah, heard of, inshallah, even the young one. He said, whatever is in this universe of knowledge is in Quran. And whatever is in Quran is in Surah Fatiha. And whatever is in Surah Fatiha is in Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. And whatever is in Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim is in the ba of Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Wa ana al-nuqtatu allati tahta al-ba, and I am the dot beneath ba. And whatever is in, you know, the ba is in the dot. And that dot is Ali ibn Abi Talib. So this is the famous hadith. This is a very famous hadith of Ali. You know, I have said this once before, but this dot beneath ba, we could not understand in olden times what does it mean. And many people say that, well, there were no dots. You know, the nuqtas did not exist in the time of the Holy Prophet. Yes, they did not exist in the time of the Holy Prophet. The first person to invent the dots in Arabic was Ali ibn Abi Talib himself. Because he had invented, he knew the importance of the dots. Therefore he said, I am the dot beneath the ba. Because there are many, many letters in Arabic that have dots. And he said, you know, that I am the dot beneath ba. You know, in the olden days it was difficult. You know, I have in my laptop, I bought the CD from home that has a lot of books. It has more than 2,000 books. In fact, the updated version has more than 3,000 books in it now. And you can imagine, when I was thinking, you know, I've said this before, that when I asked a person, is there a Quran in this book, in this CD? He said, yes. I said, where is it? He said, it's just like a dot. That made me understood the word of Imam Ali alayhi salam, when he said, أَنَا النُّقْطَةُ الَّتِي تَحْتَ الْبَارِ I'm the dot beneath ba. In today, in the age of technology, you can understand what Imam Ali alayhi salam was implying in that time. That the whole of the Quran is in only a dot. That is Quran. That is the role of Imam al-Islam. If it wasn't for our Imams, we would not know of the Quran what we do know of the Quran Sharif. If it had not been for the Imams al-Islam, Ayatullah al-Abbasid Muslim who died in 2007 in the month of Ramadan, may Allah have mercy on his soul, at the age of about 95. He has many, many books, and in one of his books, he has a whole book called The Role of the Imams in Reviving the Religion. Naqshe A'imma Dar Ihya'i Deen. And, you know, he has compiled 18 volumes in showing the role of the Imams in revival of the religion. Can you imagine the role of the Imams in the revival of religion? That's what he says, that they have played the major role in revival of religion and also in the revival of the Holy Quran. Today we would not know what of the Quran or anything of the Holy Quran had it not been for the Imams alayhi wasalam, if they had not contributed what they have contributed about the tafsir of the Holy Quran. The tafsir of the Holy Quran has a pivotal role. If the, you know, the Imams have a pivotal role in the tafsir of the Holy Quran, the explanation and the tafsir in the entire tafsir of the Holy Quran. Now, let me give you some of the tafsir that the Imams have given and the explanations that the Imams have given about the tafsir of the Holy Quran. Almost for every surah, not almost, but for every surah, there are early tafsir like Tafsir al-Qumi, which is two volumes, Ali ibn Ibrahim al-Qumi. He and his father both were students of Imam Hasan Askari and Imam Ali Naqi al-Islam. Allah, Allah, Allah. From these two Imams, they have compiled thousands of ahadith, and they are the major source of traditions for Shaykh Muhammad ibn Yaqub al-Kulaini, the one who compiled al-Usul al-Kafi. So basically, Ali ibn Ibrahim al-Qumi is extremely important. He studied under the 11th and the 10th Imam. And he compiled a whole tafsir called Tafsir al-Qumi. So Tafsir al-Qumi is extremely important, and it gives you the tafsir of all of the surahs. And not every ayah, but a lot of the ayat. So whatever he had memorized from the traditions of the Ayyam al-Muslim on each one of the ayat, he actually compiled it in a tafsir form. Tafsir Ayyashi. Muhammad ibn Samarqandi Ayyashi, he is a very famous writer. His tafsir, we only have two volumes of. Only the first half of the Holy Quran, he compiled the traditions of the Ayyam al-Muslim. So thousands of ahadith again in Tafsir Ayyashi. These are early tafsir. One of the early tafsir we have today is At-Tibyan fi Tafsir al-Quran by Shaykh Tusi. Shaykh Tusi, everyone heard of him? Shaykh Tusi is the most important Shia scholar from the early life. He has a book on every single topic that we have today in the Shia household. He has a book, you know, he has books on fiqh, on usul, tafsir. He has a 10-volume tafsir. In that time he wrote a 10-volume tafsir. He has 2 books on hadith, 10 volumes of Tahzeeb al-Ahkam, Al-Istibsar, the 2 major books on hadith in the Shia world. He has 2 books on Al-Mirajal. On every topic that you can think of, he has books. This is Shaykh Tusi. And he's the founder of the Hawza in Najaf, over 1,000 years ago. So he compiled a whole tafsir, where he has basically taken the teachings of the Imam alayhi salam and actually put them into words. There are many, many theological arguments that he resolves, philosophical arguments, and other topics that he has resolved in that tafsir. And this is all based on the teachings of the Imam alayhi salam, the Imam of Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam. Today, you cannot imagine, had it not been for these early scholars, had they not compiled those teachings of the Imam alayhi salam, we would not be where we are today. We would not have ijtihad. Ijtihad would have finished in the Shia world. You know, in the old topics, yes, but in the new topics, all of our Wahhabi brothers, I mean the Wahhabi. No, that's anyone. Not brothers, without the brothers. Sunni brothers, yes, but not the Wahhabi. So the Wahhabis, you know, they say that the ijtihad shouldn't exist. We should only have hadith. They call themselves Ahli Hadith. We're only and only hadith based religion. And we should only and only have Quran and Hadith, no ijtihad, nothing. Anyone in the Shias, we have, you know, people who were Akbari, but Alhamdulillah, they have realized that, you know, they were mistaken, and Alhamdulillah, we have, you know, I don't think that we have a major Shia alim today who is Akbari. So everyone became Usuli, because what was the major problem? Like Ahli Hadith, the Akbari had a problem. On anything new, they could not resolve it. Because they believe that you should only and only base your teachings on anything that exists in the Holy Quran and Hadith. On any new topic, they said, this is bidah. It is haram. For example, using their toothpaste and brush. The Ahli Hadith and the Wahhabi say it is bidah. For example, using a car is a bidah. Using a mobile phone is a bidah. Using a plane is a bidah. You can ride in a ship but not on the plane, because the ship existed in the time of the Holy Prophet, you know, the boats and everything, but not on an aeroplane, because they did not exist in the time of the Prophet. So can you imagine, if you did not have ijtihad and usul al-fiqh, how difficult the life would be? You all realize? There is a whole book by Shahid Beheshti, who has compiled a book called Philosophy of Islam, and he says, the Holy Prophet did not emphasize on using the branch, which, you know, the Wahhabis always use. They will always have a branch in their mouth. He said that was not the emphasis of the Holy Prophet. It was cleaning of the teeth. Had the Prophet been alive today, he would have also used a brush. It is not the emphasis on using a branch. It is the emphasis on cleaning the teeth. There are three things that the Holy Prophet emphasized greatly on. One was the rights of the neighbors. One, against the divorce, and thirdly, cleaning of the teeth, just cleanliness, you know, general cleanliness. So much so that the people were thinking, he always says the hadith about cleaning the teeth, you know, the teeth, every day. Probably he's going to now order, break all your teeth and throw them away. That's what the Sahaba were thinking, you know, that, you know, we can't keep our clean so much clean. How come, you know, he's always talking about cleaning the teeth? Today, people realize that if you don't brush, you know, you're taking all the illnesses because of not cleaning your teeth. So the Holy Prophet was emphasizing so much so on, you know, the general cleanliness and especially of the teeth. Secondly, against the divorce. The Sahaba were thinking he has been speaking so much against the divorce that he is now probably going to make it haram, which he didn't. And the third thing, he emphasized so much so on the rights of neighbors, that the people are thinking, now he's going to tell you soon that they are going to have, you know, inheritance. They're going to share your inheritance. Itna Rasul Khuda ne zor diya, teen cheezon pe itna zor diya ki sahaba samajh lage ki ab agla hukm aane wala hai. ہمسایوں کے حقوق, ہمسائے 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 ہمسائے, اتنا رسول خدا نے ہمسائے کہا کہ اب صحابہ سوچنے لگے کہ اب ان قریب رسول خدا کہیں گے کہ صحابہ کا بھی میراث میں حصہ ہوا کریں گے. اور دوسرے طلاق کے خلاف اتنا بولا کہ لوگ سمجھے کہ اب حرام قرار دینے والے, اور تیسرے دانت صاف کرنے پہ اتنا بولے کہ رسول خدا نے اتنی حدیث کہی کہ صحابہ سوچنے لگے کہ اب رسول خدا شاید حکم دے دیں گے کہ سارے دانت توڑوا کے پھینکوا دو. اتنا زیادہ تو ہم صاف نہیں رکھ سکتے اس زمانے میں, صحابہ کے لیے مسئلہ بن گیا تھا. سو دیز ہیو بیکم ایشوز اگینسٹ صحابہ بیکاز دے مینی آف دیم یو نو دے ڈو ناٹ کلین دیمسیلفز سو مچ. ون صحابی کیم ٹو دا ہولی پروفیٹ سیڈ ٹو ہیم, واٹ ہیو یو ڈن وِد یور بیئرڈ؟ ہی سیڈ, واٹ ہیو آئی ڈن وِد مائی بیئرڈ؟ آئی ہیو ناٹ ڈن اینی تھنگ وِد مائی بیئرڈ. ہی سیڈ, دیٹس ایگزیکٹلی مائی پوائنٹ, یو ہیو ناٹ ڈن اینی تھنگ وِد یور بیئرڈ, کلین اٹ. And, you know, and comb it, and you know, so the Holy Prophet emphasized on cleaning the beard and cleaning your hair. It is the sunnah of the Holy Prophet to comb your hair. Sunnah of the Holy Prophet. Not to just let go and, you know, make a whole mess and, you know, the whole beard like Taliban. No, the Holy Prophet said, no, always, you know, all the Maharaja and the Shia Maharaja, you see, they always have a comb beard, you know, some clean, always wash yourself. Ghusl is mustahab, at least on a Friday. It is so much so. You know, these are the teachings of the Ahlul Bayt alayhi wasalam. Mustahab, the Holy Prophet says, Ya Ali, if you have enough money to either have the ghusl of Friday or to eat food, then don't eat food but do the ghusl of Friday. The people who do ghusl of Friday all the time, their bodies will not rot in the graves. Look at the number of ahadith we have about the cleanliness and you know, the teaching of the Ahlul Bayt. So, the Holy Prophet and the Ahlul Bayt alayhi wasalam emphasized on the practical things of the Holy Quran. And they said, look at the teachings and adapt them in your life. Don't just read them, but put them into practice. So, these teachings of the Ahlul Bayt alayhi wasalam, I have to take a few minutes before I go to Urdu about some of the masail. Namaz al-Jamaat, I've been asked by a number of people, if you're coming late into Namaz Jamaat, and if you join into second rakat or the third or the last rakat or the fourth rakat, yes, then this is your first rakat, and you must do everything that is required for the first rakat. You're in Jamaat, you must join before Ruku. If you join in the third or the fourth rakat, then you must recite Surah Fatiha and the second Surah. Otherwise, wait for the Imam to go into Ruku, and then you say Allahu Akbar and straight go to Allahu Akbar, Ruku, second. Okay? So you will go into Ruku, five wajibat will be fulfilled. Niyat, Sakratul Ihram, Qiyamul Mutasil, Ruku, and the two sajda. So long as you have these five, that rakat is accepted. So you can join into any rakat, but you must do the actions for the first rakat. You cannot say, okay, this is my fourth as well, or this is my third as well, or this is my second. No, this is your first. Now, if you're in second rakat, and the Imam is going to do Qunut, then you can just either listen to the Qunut and keep quiet, or perform the Qunut. Because you're not supposed to do Qunut in the first rakat, so therefore because of being in Jamaat, you must follow everything that the people are doing in the Jamaat. Okay? So you can join in any place, and remember that you must not, if you are in the first rakat, in the first saf, and you finish after two rakat, then you must stand up for the third and the fourth in case you break the connection of all the people that are joined because of you. Any questions on that, or I can continue? Now, Aima alayhi salam ek bahut hi ahem kirdar raha hai tafsir Quran ke andar. Aur agar Aima alayhi salam ko mauka diya jata, Amir Rumin ki hadith hai جہاں فرماتے ہیں کہ لو جعلت الوسادہ, اگر میرے لیے ایک کشن لگا دیا جاتا ہے, تکیہ لگا دیا جاتا, مجھے آرام کرنے دیا جاتا, یعنی مجھے جنگوں میں نہ گھسیٹا جاتا کہ جبل میں جاؤں, سفین میں جاؤں, نہروان میں جاؤں, صرف جنگ کرتا رہوں. کیوں؟ اگر فتنے ہوں گے تو پھر مولا کو ان فتنوں کو ختم کرنے کے لیے کچھ نہ کچھ کرنا پڑے گا. مولا فرماتے تھے جتنے فتنے پچھلے حکومتوں نے بنا دی ہیں اور موجودہ جو معاویہ ہے یہ بنا رہا ہے, یہ فتنے یہ سوائے جنگوں کے ختم ہو ہی نہیں سکتے. مجھے مجبور کیا گیا ہے کہ میں جنگ کروں, میں جنگ کرنا نہیں چاہتا تھا بلکہ مجھے مجبور کیا جا رہا ہے, اس لیے مولا جنگ پہ جا گئے. لیکن آپ فرماتے تھے کہ اگر مجھے مجبور نہ کیا جاتا, مجھے آرام کرنے دیا جاتا اور مجھے بیان کرنے دیا جاتا قرآن کی تفسیر کو اور احکام کو بیان کرنے دیا جاتا, علم کو پھیلانے دیا جاتا, تو پھر میں تورات والوں کو تورات سے مسائل کا حل بتاتا، زبور والوں کو زبور سے مسائل کا حل بتاتا، انجیل والوں کو انجیل سے، قرآن والوں کو قرآن سے. کوئی یہ نہ کہتا کہ یعنی آپ نے مسئلہ کیسا بتایا ہے، بلکہ اس کو اسی کتاب سے جواب دیتا، اور جو کسی کتاب کو نہیں مانتا اسے میں عقل سے جواب دیتا. یہاں تک کہ علم کو پتہ ہو جاتی اور باطل جو ہے شکست کھا جاتا. لیکن آپ نے کہا کہ مجھے موقع نہیں دیا کہ میں علم کو پھیلاؤں. آئمہ علیہ السلام کو اگر ہمارے کسی ایک امام کو موقع ملا تو انہوں نے پورے کے پورے اسلام کے آج جتنے بھی فقہ ہیں ان سب کی بنیاد امام جی کے شاگردوں نے رکھی ہے. اگر آج فقہ جعفری ہے تو امام صادق کا طبقہ ہے، اگر کوئی حنفی ہے تو وہ بھی امام صادق کا مرہون منت ہے، اگر کوئی مالکی ہے وہ بھی امام کا احسان مند ہے، اگر کوئی شافعی یا حنبلی ہے وہ بھی امام کا صدقہ کھا رہا ہے. سب کے سب جتنے بھی فقہ کے ماننے والے ہیں وہ سب کے سب فقہوں کے جو امام ہیں وہ امام کے، امام صادق کے یا ڈائریکٹلی یا انڈائریکٹلی چھٹے امام ہی کے شاگرد ہیں. آج جتنے صرف ایک امام کو موقع ملا تو جتنے بھی فقہ کے مسائل ہیں 513 آیات صرف فقہ پہ، اور امام نے 513 آیات کی تفسیر میں 60,000 احادیث کہی. آپ سوچ سکتے ہیں صرف 513 آیات کی تفسیر میں 60,000 احادیث، اور جو بہت سی اور آیات ہیں ایک ایک آیت کو ایکسپلین کرنے کے لیے، بیان کرنے کے لیے آئمہ نے کتنی کتنی احادیث دی ہے. آپ سوچیے کہ اگر آئمہ کو بیان کرنے کا موقع دیا جاتا تو وہ ان آیات کی تفسیر میں کتنا بیان فرماتے ہیں. یہاں تک کہ جو ایک مسئلہ امام فرماتے ہیں اگر مجھے یہ کوفے والے اجازت دیتے تو میں اسی دجلہ کے پانی سے نور نکال دیتا. نور اس زمانے میں چراغ کو کہتے تھے، بولے تھے چراغ، لوگ سمجھ رہے تھے کہ چراغ کی بات کر رہے ہیں، نہیں مولا ہائیڈرو الیکٹرک کی بات کر رہے تھے، الیکٹریسٹی کی بات کر رہے تھے. اس زمانے میں تصور دے رہے تھے کہ اسی پانی سے بجلی نکالی جا سکتی ہے، اور وہ لوگ کہہ رہے تھے کہ ارے پانی سے آگ کیسے نکل سکتی ہے، یعنی کیسی باتیں کر رہے ہیں، ہائیڈرو الیکٹرک کا تصور دے رہے تھے. حضرات یہ آئمہ علیہ السلام کی تعلیمات، اگر یہ حدیث نہ ہوتی تو آج اتنی ترقی نہ ہوتی. میں یقین میں نے کئی مرتبہ ایسا ہوتا میں نے کہا I read a verse or I read a hadith and I think I have understood it. But when I go to the explanation of our ulama and the mufassirun, the people who have explained the ayat and the people who have explained the hadith, they force me to imagine that I could have never got to the conclusion that they have reached. مجھے یقین مانے کہ اس نتیجے پہ پہنچتا ہوں کہ جس نتیجے پہ یہ پہنچے ہیں میں کبھی بھی اس نتیجے پہ نہیں پہنچ سکتا. یعنی ان لوگوں نے اتنی اپنی زندگیاں وقف کر دی ہیں تفسیر کو سمجھنے میں اور حدیث کو سمجھنے میں. آپ اگر کبھی اٹھا کے دیکھیے کہ ہمارے علماء نے حدیث سے متعلق کیا ایکسپلینیشن دی، اس حدیث کا یہ مفہوم، اس حدیث کا یہ مفہوم. انسان سوچتا کہ اگر یہ علماء زحمتیں نہ کرتے تو ہم کبھی بھی اتنی ترقی نہ کر سکتے جتنی ہم نے ترقی کی. مکتب تشیع یا آئمہ علیہ السلام کی زحمتوں کا نتیجہ، ان کے شاگردوں کی زحمتوں کا نتیجہ، ان کے شاگردوں کی شاگردوں کی، اور یہ علماء آئمہ کی شاگرد ہیں ڈائریکٹلی نہیں تو انڈائریکٹلی سب کے سب شاگرد ہیں. آج جتنے بھی دنیا کے اندر علوم ہیں وہ سب کے سب اہل بیت علیہم السلام کے، جتنے بھی اصلی اور حقیقی علوم ہیں، جتنے بھی سائنس ہیں، اور زیادہ تر تعلیمات جو ہیں وہ ہم گم کر چکے ہیں. زیادہ تر تعلیمات، زیادہ تر احادیث ہم کھو چکے ہیں. ایسے بہت سے علوم ہیں جس پہ ہمارے آئمہ علیہ السلام نے کہا کہ اس سے متعلق ہم جانتے ہیں، بیان بھی کیا ہے، لیکن وہ ہمارے درمیان موجود نہیں ہے. کیوں موجود نہیں ہے؟ کیونکہ بہت سے ظالم بادشاہوں نے لائبریریوں کو تباہ کر دیا، یا ہمارے بہت سے لوگوں نے کتابوں کو جلا دیا. خود ہمارے ہی ایسے بہت سے نادان دوست تھے مسلمانوں کے اندر جنہوں نے علم دشمنی کی اور علم کو ناپید کر دیا. آپ کو تعجب ہوگا ابھی بھی ہماری اکثر ایسی کتابیں ہیں عربی میں اور بہت سی فارسی میں جو کہ ان پرنٹڈ موجود ہیں، ہماری لائبریری میں رکھی ہیں، نجف قم میں، خود ہندوستان میں، جو علماء نے زحمتیں کرنے کے بعد اپنے خون جگر کو دے کے کتابیں لکھی ہیں، وہ کتابیں ابھی تک ان پبلشڈ ہیں، چھپی نہیں. تصور کر سکتے ہیں آپ، علامہ ہلی کی بے شمار کتابیں ابھی تک چھپی نہیں، ہمارے بڑے بڑے بزرگ علماء کی کتابیں ان کی زحمتیں ابھی تک ان پبلشڈ ہیں، اور کوشش کی جا رہی ہے کہ ان کو چھپایا جائے. بہت سی ایسی کتابیں ہیں کہ جن کے اندر مثلاً کیڑا لگا اس نے کچھ حصوں کو خراب کر دیا ہے، اب اس کے یہاں پہ الفاظ کیا ہوں گے، یہ سوچنے کے لیے، یہ لکھنے کے لیے خود سے بہت بڑے ایک عالم ہونے کی ضرورت ہے. یہاں تک کہ برٹش اور امریکن نے، خصوصاً برٹش نے کتنی اور فرینچ نے کتنی ہی ہماری لائبریریاں جو ہینڈ رائٹنگ مینسکرپٹ سے ان کو خریدا اور یہاں پہ لے آئے، یورپ اور امریکہ لے آئے. آپ جانتے ہیں کہ کتنی کتابیں ایسی ہیں کہ جو مینسکرپٹ ہیں وہ وہاں سے منتقل کیے گئے, پیسے دیتے تھے اور کہتے تھے مینسکرپٹ ہے چرا کے لا دو ہمیں پیسے دیں. آج اللہ مرشی نجفی نے نجف میں کہا کہ میں روزے رکھتا تھا, اجارے کے روزے, اجارے کی نمازیں پڑھتا تھا, کہا آپ کی مرحومین کی نمازیں پڑھ دوں گا, مجھے پیسے دے دیں میں نمازیں پڑھ دوں گا تاکہ پیسے ملے تو یہ مینسکرپٹ میں خرید لوں. کہا میں اجارے کی نمازیں پڑھتا تھا, اجارے کے روزے رکھتا تھا تاکہ مینسکرپٹ جو ہے وہ جو خطی نسخے تھے وہ میں حاصل کرتا رہا ہوں. اور جب ان کا انتقال ہو رہا تھا تو ان کی لائبریری جو ہے اس میں 27,000 مینسکرپٹس موجود, 27,000 مینسکرپٹس خطی نسخے. آپ سوچ سکتے ہیں 400,000 جو ہیں پرنٹڈ کتابیں جب ان کا انتقال ہوتا تھا. ایک مرجع کتنی زحمت کرنے کے بعد, کتنی کوششیں کرنے کے بعد وہ دین کو بچاتا ہے اور دین کی تعلیمات کو ہم تک پہنچاتا ہے امام افراد کا. اور ہمارے بہت سے نادان دوست ہیں وہ براجو ہی کی توہین کرتے ہیں اور انہیں کو گالی بتتا ہوں. وہ سمجھتے ہیں کہ دین دشمن کا ہے تو مر جا ہے, وہ دین کے محافظ کو دین دشمن سمجھتا ہے. ہمارے ہی بہت سے, ہمیں دشمن کی ضرورت نہیں ہے, ہمارے ہی بہت سے نادان دوست وہ سمجھتے ہیں کہ یہی مراجع یہی آچرا یہ جو پوری زندگی گلا دیتے ہیں دین کو سمجھنے میں, انہیں کی دشمنی کرنی چاہیے کیونکہ یہ دین دشمن ہے. آج سب سے زیادہ اگر توہین کی گئی ہوگی ہمارے مراجع اور فقہا کے خلاف لکھا گیا ہوگا تو ہمارے ہی تشیع ہی کے درمیان سے کچھ نادان لوگوں نے لکھا ہوگا. کچھ نادان اور کچھ جانتے بوجھتے ہوئے دوسرے ہمارے دشمنوں کے کارندے ہیں, ان کے لیے کام کرتے ہیں اور ان کے لیے لکھتے ہیں, ان کے لیے کام کرتے ہیں اور ان کے ہمارے ہی مراجع کے خلاف لکھتے ہیں. کتنی کتابیں لکھی جا کے کتنے ہمارے ہی درمیان پروپیگنڈے علماء کے خلاف, فقہا کے خلاف, مہاراجوں کے خلاف ہمارے درمیان پروپیگنڈے پائے جاتے ہیں, ویب سائٹ وغیرہ پائی جاتی ہیں ہمارے درمیان, کتابیں لکھی جا رہی ہیں مسلم کے خلاف, مسجد کے خلاف. ایک باقاعدہ سوچی سمجھی اسکیم کے تحت دشمن جانتا ہے. اچھا میں مثال کے طور پہ آپ دین کہاں سے لیں گے؟ اہل بیت علیہ السلام سے. اہل بیت تک آپ تک پہنچنے کا راستہ کیا ہے؟ کتابیں. یہ کتابیں کس نے لکھی ہیں؟ یہ وائٹ ہاؤس سے لکھی گئی ہیں, یہ چین ڈال اسٹریٹ سے لکھی گئی ہیں, یہ فقہا مراجوں نے لکھی ہیں. سوال کرتا ہوں آپ سے, یہ کتابیں کس نے لکھی ہیں؟ یہ علماء فقہا مراجوں نے لکھی ہیں. تعلیمات کس سے لیں گے آپ؟ اگر فقہا مراجوں سے تعلیمات نہیں لیں گے, دین کو فقہا سے نہیں لیں گے, مراجوں سے نہیں لیں گے, تو کس سے لیں گے؟ یہ کہو کہ حل دیجیے مجھے. ایک کہ مسجد کا پورا سسٹم جو ہے یہ نظام مسجد کی جو پورا سیٹ اپ ہے, یہ فقہا مراجوں کا, یہ تقریر کا, یہ سارا باطل ہے, یہ سارا غلط ہے. میں نے کہا چلیں ٹھیک ہے سارا غلط ہے, بتائیے اس کا حل کیا ہے, اس کا ریپلیسمنٹ کیا ہے, اس کا بدل کیا ہے؟ وہ آپ بتائیے چیز ایسی کہ جو چلے ہم مان لیتے ہیں, ہم آپ کے راستے میں چل لیتے ہیں. ان کے پاس کوئی جواب نہیں تھا. لندن میں صاحب وہاں بہت شور مچا رہے تھے, نہیں یہ تکلیف غلط ہے, تکلیف ہونی نہیں چاہیے, مہاراجا غلط ہے. اچھا ٹھیک ہے یہ سب غلط ہے, اتنا بتائیے اس کا حل کیا ہے, اس کا ریپلیسمنٹ کیا ہے, اس کا بدل کیا ہے؟ کوئی ہے آپ کے پاس جواب؟ ہمارے یہاں آج کے دشمنی نہیں ہونی چاہیے. آئے مالی مسلح فرماتے ہیں حدیث ہے امام جعفر صادق علیہ السلام, فرماتے ہیں فرماتے کہا کہ کن عالمن اور متعلمن اور محب احما ولا تکن رابعا, یا عالم بنو بیکم اسکالر, یا عالم بنو یا طالب علم بنو, یا عالم بنو یا طالب علم بنو, یا علم سیکھو یا علم, اتنے علم سیکھنے کے بعد عالم بن جاؤ یا پھر علم سیکھتے رہو, یہ دو درجے ہیں. یا تیسرا درجہ ہے کہ یا ان دونوں کے چاہنے والے بنو, علماء کے اور طلبا کے چاہنے والے بنو. کا چوتھے درجے پہ مت جانا, وہ ان کے دشمنی کا ہے. چھٹے بھاؤ کی حدیث ہے, یا عالم بنو یا طالب علم بنو یا ان کے چاہنے والے, چوتھے درجے پہ مت جانا کہ ان کی دشمنی پہ اتر آؤ. وہ جاہل کا درجہ ہے, وہ دشمنی کا درجہ ہے. یہ علم دشمنی, عالم دشمنی شیعوں میں نہیں ہونی چاہیے. پروردگار میں تو اپنے جناب صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم کی بات حاصل کر سکیں, قرآن پہ عمل کر سکیں, اہل بیت علیہ السلام کی تعلیمات کر سکیں. ربنا تقبل منا انك انت السميع العليم بحق محمد وعلى الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين. خلاص